Many people believe that if we could change our world, if we could change our environment, that would solve all of our problems, and we would be happy then. They say to change man, just change his environment. But they forget one thing. They forget that the first couple, Adam and Eve, lived in a perfect environment, and obviously they were not happy. Their heart wanted more than what God had given them. The first sin was committed in a perfect environment, the Garden of Eden. Man's environment is not the problem. Man's sinful heart is the problem. Warren Wisby is the one who said, "The heart of the problem is the heart." Education alone does not make a man righteous. A man may be highly educated and yet be a well-educated, wicked person. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Why? Because the heart is the central point of everything. Can a wicked man get a heart transplant, receive the heart of a godly man, and have a pure heart? No. Purity of heart is not in the organ itself, but in the thoughts, the desires, the characters, the motives of the person. Jesus said in Matthew 12:35, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things." And in Matthew 15:19, he added, "Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies." This morning in our text, we are going to see how important the heart is. It plays a very important role in producing either happiness or sadness in people. So let's take a look at another thing that leads to happiness. Let's continue to learn how to be happy. Please turn with me to our text. We are still in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, as we continue where we stop. Jesus said, and I quote, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Oh, how happy are the pure in heart. They will see God. So far in our study of the Beatitude, we have learned about four different attitudes. Our attitude towards ourselves, our attitude towards sin, our attitude towards God, our attitude towards others. And there are three aspects to that attitude towards others. Being merciful is one, being pure in heart is another, and being peacemakers is another one. Last week we covered the first one, being merciful. Today we'll take the second aspect of our attitude towards others, which is to be pure in heart. And next week we'll take the peacemakers. After that we will take our last attitude, which is our attitude towards the world. The teaching of our Lord was continually aimed at the hearts of the people. Other teachers had been content with outward moral reformation, just seeing a few changes in their life. They were happy with that. They were content with seeing them do the right things. But Jesus went to the source of all evil, that he might cleanse the spring from which comes all sinful thoughts, evil words, and evil action. He insisted over and over again that until the heart is pure, the life will never be clean. Notice that he did not say, "Blessed are the pure in language," or "Blessed are the pure in action," or blessed are the pure in ritual, or the pure in clothing, or the pure in food. No, blessed are the pure in heart. God is more concerned with our heart than he is with our actions. If our actions appear to be pure, and yet the motive behind those actions is impure, that will nullify all the action. The heart is polluted. Have you ever reached into the fridge, grabbed hold of a carton of milk, took a big gulp, and it was sour milk? You couldn't get it out of your mouth fast enough. Or did you get behind some big old diesel truck that was spewing nauseous fumes? You could hardly get out of that lane, out of its way fast enough. Purity in the biblical sense means clean, not polluted, not contaminated, unmixed. Our language can be clean, and yet our heart can be filthy with dirty imagination, totally polluted. It is easy to look good in the eyes of the people, but we cannot fool God. This morning, we will answer six questions. Number one, what is the heart? Number two, why is the heart wicked? Number three, what is a pure heart? Number four, how do we see God? Number five, how do we purify our heart? And number six, why are the pure in heart happy? The first one, what does the Bible mean by the heart? The greatest command is to love God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and strength, indicating four different functions of personality. Sometimes the Bible used the word heart to signify emotions. Let not your heart be troubled, Jesus said in John 14. But the heart can also refer to the intellect. Jesus asked, why do you reason about these things in your heart? In Mark 2, verse 8. The heart also suggests the will. The Bible says Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Daniel 1, verse 8. Putting them all together, we get the impression that the heart is the inner man with his many functions, the master control of life. Your heart beat an average of 122,400 times every day. None of us want our heart to ask for a vacation or to take a day off. We don't even want to give it a short coffee break, to skip a few beats. Doctors understand the heart. They understand that it is critically important to our physical well-being. So important that doctors have created a 10 commandments for heart attack prevention. The first one is, thou shalt stop smoking. Number two, thou shalt control thy blood pressure. Thou shalt reduce cholesterol. Number four, thou shalt watch saturated fat. Number five, thou shalt reduce sodium. Number six, thou shalt lose some weight. Seven, thou shalt increase time to relax. Eight, thou shalt eat more fiber. Nine, thou shalt eat fish three times a week. And 10, thou shalt increase exercise. The same principle holds true in our spiritual lives. The condition of our heart impacts every area of our lives. Your heart is not just the physical organ pumping blood throughout your body. The heart is the center of your innermost emotion and feelings. The heart is your soul, the center and essence of your life. Jesus focused on that heart. Just as a body is lifeless without the beating of the heart, spiritually speaking, without the heart, spiritual life stops. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart. That is, watch, protect, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. We are prone to blame people, blame circumstances, even blame God for the wrong that we do. But the heart is really the guilty party. The heart is the base of our action. Matthew 12:35, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. All actions are directed by the heart. The heart is also the base of our words. Matthew 12:34, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And in Matthew 15:18, those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. All spoken words come from the heart. So if there is something in the heart that is good or that is bad, it will sooner or later come out from the mouth. The heart is also the root of sin. Adultery. Jesus said in Matthew 5:28, but I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. It is the root of hatred, the root of mischief, the root of pride, the root of rebellion, the root of presumption. All these things springs up from the heart. The heart is also the seat of all affections, desires, doubts, fears, sorrows, evil thoughts, all motives. The heart is the center of life. It is the throne of the spirit. Out of it comes the issues of life. The heart determines the character. Proverbs 23:6-7 says, do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his food. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. He is not pure in heart. Jeremiah tells us in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitfully, is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And then verse 10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. He knows every heart. And this proves to us that salvation is impossible for man. Our heart needs a cleansing, and we are not even able to know what is in our own heart. How can we cleanse it? And this eliminates all those who by laws or rituals or rules and regulations would like to be saved, because laws and rituals and rules and regulation cannot cleanse the heart. And yet the heart is the master control of life. Now the next question, why is the heart of men wicked? And Solomon answered that question in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11, he said, because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Just because they are getting away with their sins, because God is not frying them right on the spot, their hearts have become hardened and very wicked. They have no fear. Nothing is happening. They do wickedly. Nothing happens. There is nothing worse than a heart that is getting away with evil. Solomon also said in Ecclesiastes 9 verse 3, truly the hearts of the sons of men are full of evil. madness is in their hearts while they live, and after that they go to the dead. So let's not mistake God's long-suffering as approval. Because he's not doing anything, that doesn't mean that he approves what you are doing. Just because he is patient and long-suffering does not mean that he approves. Jesus said that the pure in heart shall see God. The first step towards seeing God is to admit that our heart is sinful. That we cannot see God unless our heart is changed. And you may ask, can the heart change? God says yes. Jeremiah 24:7. I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. So yes, the heart can be changed. David asked, create in me a new heart, O Lord. It is possible for the change to be renewed, the heart to be changed and renewed. Earlier in life, German sculptor Johann Heinrich von Daneker gained for himself a wonderful reputation for his statues of Greek goddesses. Approaching the prime of his life, he felt he ought to devote all of his strength and time to the creation of a masterpiece. So he set about to carve a figure of Christ. Twice he failed, but finally he carved an image of Christ that was so perfect, so exquisitely beautiful, that when people gazed upon it, they could only love it and adore. Later, Napoleon sent for him and said, come to Paris and make a statue of Venus for us, for the museum, the Louvre Museum. But such an offer could tempt the heart of Daneker, but he refused. His reply was simple. He said, sir, the hands that carve Christ can never again carve a heathen goddess. His heart has changed. A proof that a heart can change. He had a pure heart. And he's not the only one who have had a change of heart. In his early years, Jean-François Millet, the great French painter, devoted himself almost entirely to the painting of nude figures, naked women. But one day, hearing the lustful conversation of some men examining one of his pictures, he decided to turn his talents into some other direction. He and his wife were poor, and it seemed to mean starvation to them both. But she consented, and he gave up nude art and began to paint peasant farmer scenes. And what seemed to promise him starvation brought him such fame. He is known as the painter of peasants. And some of his most famous pictures are The Sower in 1850, The Gleaners in 1857, The Shepherds, also Death and the Woodcutter. And one of his greatest treasures is The Angelus at 1859, the men and the woman in the field, noontime. The church bells are ringing and they are praying in the field. No one purifies his heart for nothing. God honors such decision, and he blesses the pure in heart. Which leads to the third question. What is purity of heart? The Greek word for pure has two basic meanings. Clean and unmixed. Our English word, cathartic, comes from this Greek word and means an agent used by a doctor for the cleansing of the system. Purity of heart does not mean a life without sin. John said in 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We all sin. Everyone sin. God's people sin. Noah got drunk. Abraham lied about his wife. Jacob tricked his twin brothers out of his birthright. Moses disobeyed God. David committed adultery and murder. Peter denied Christ. Purity of heart does not mean being without sin. David did not have a sinless heart, but he did have a single heart. And that made him a man after God's own heart. A pure-hearted person is one whose motives are sincere, whose thoughts are holy, whose conscience is clean. How do we maintain a priceless integrity of heart? By being utterly honest with God, being honest with others, being honest with ourselves, seeking to honor God alone. There is no substitute for integrity. A substance is called pure when it is without mixture. Pure gold, pure silver means not mixed with something else. A pure heart is an undivided heart. It is a heart without hypocrisy, totally transparent and sincere, as opposed to a double heart. The problem with a divided heart is that one part of it wants to know God. It wants to worship God and please God, but another part wants something else. No matter how skillful the hands may be, if the heart is divided, the work will be destroyed. And that's the problem with a believer marrying an unbeliever. Their work will be destroyed. A pure heart is a heart that is no longer divided. David said in Psalm 86:11, "Unite my heart to fear your name." Meaning, remove division, make my heart sincere, free from deceit, free from hypocrisy. A pure heart is utterly and absolutely loyal. A pure heart desires to know God, desires to love God, desires to serve God. Jesus said that only those will see God. No one should hope to see God whose heart is divided between the Lord and the world. Lot's wife, her heart was divided, and she did not see salvation. And Jesus said in his warning, remember Lot's wife. The pure in heart are given to assurance that they shall see God. Next question, number four. How will they see God? Seeing God is the highest hope and joy anyone can ever experience. The reason why there is such little hunger for God in the church today is because people are lacking a desire to see God. They don't really care to see God. The men and women that God has used in the past and continues to use today have been characterized by a deep desire to see God and to know Him intimately. Since God is an invisible spirit, how can they see God? When the heart is pure, the eyes will be sharp to the vision of God whenever it may appear. Jesus promised the vision of God in this life as well as the hereafter. The pure in heart will see God seven ways. Number one, they will see God in His creation. Because David had a pure heart, he saw God in the stars, he saw God in the storm, he enjoyed living in God's world. The man whose heart is pure is able to see God in nature. He will hear God's voice in the storm. When his heart is right, God can be seen everywhere. But an impure heart cannot see God anywhere. Nature and life are windows through which we can see God. But if we lack integrity of heart, the windows become mirrors, and we can only see ourselves. Jesus taught this in the parable of the foolish farmer in Luke chapter 12. The farmer did not see God in his bumper crop. He did not see God in his sudden wealth. He only saw himself. Several times he repeated, I will do this. I will pull down my barns. I will build greater barns. I will store my goods. I will say to my soul, take it easy. This man did not have a pure heart. He did not get a chance to take it easy, and he did not see God. Number two, they see God in their circumstances. Psalm 105 and Psalm 106, the writer saw the hand of God in the history of his people. Psalm 23 makes it clear that David saw God in the circumstances of his life. His life was not a series of accidents, but a series of divine appointments. It is nice to be able to see God in our circumstances. Number three, they will see God in the scriptures. Impure hearts cannot see any trace of God in the scripture. They only find reason for doubting. That's all they see in the Bible. But the pure in heart sees God on every page of the Holy Book. The double-minded man will never see God in the Bible. His mind may grasp some facts, but his heart never lays hold of any truth. The Pharisees and the scribes, they knew the traditions of the fathers. They knew the opinions of the scholars, but they did not know God. Yet he was right there with them. And number four, they will see God in his church. The impure heart do not see God there. They see nothing but faults and failures and imperfection. Impure hearts are negative and they are fault-finding. Unclean hearts see little or nothing good among God's people. But the pure in heart see God in his church and rejoice to meet him there. Number five, they will see God in the march of event in the world. They will see God, what he is doing in the world. They will be able to follow the fulfillment of the prophecies that are mentioned in the Bible. Number six, they will see God in the person of Jesus at the rapture of the church. They will meet him in the cloud. They will see him for the first time. They will return with him when he comes again the second time to the earth. And number seven, they will see God face to face in heaven for all eternity. This is how they will see God. The pure in heart are able to see God in creation, in scriptures, in their circumstances, in the church, in the march of event in the world. And they will see Christ when he comes for us. And they will see God in heaven and remain with him for all eternity. When we start seeing God, we also start seeing what he sees. We have a wider vision. Not only do we see ourselves in a new light, the light of God's glory, but we also see others in a new light. We see them as God sees them, as precious souls, precious treasures of his. The eyes see what the heart loves. If the heart loves God and is single in his devotion, then the eyes will see God whether others see him or not. Physically, our hearts tend to deteriorate. I will need soon a surgery for cataracts. That's just the way it is. But spiritually, our eyes ought to become keener and our vision brighter. The man who sees God loves God, delights in God, and longs to be like God. The most important part of our life is the part that only God sees. A pure heart is conscious and burdened by any impurity that he finds in there. Not only impurity in words and in action, but also impurity of desires. Why do I desire that evil thing? Impurity of motives. Impurity of intent. He will be bothered by all these things that he will find in his own heart. Cain, who killed his brother, did not have a pure heart. When asked by God, "Where is your brother Abel?" he said he did not know. He was not sincere. He had a lying heart, not a pure heart. A pure heart is sincere. A pure heart hates all sins and avoids all appearances of evil. And the question 5 was, how can we purify our heart? Purification of heart is a divine work. No man except Jesus was ever born with a pure heart. We were all born with an impure heart. Don't sue your parents. We were all born like this. Being born again of the Spirit purifies the heart from all past sins. Then the heart is kept pure by the constant presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. A pure heart is a sanctified heart, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. But it is not a one-shot deal. It is a process. It is a work in progress. There are 4 things that we can do to help purify our heart. Number 1, the Word of God. Jesus said in John 15, "You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you." David asked in Psalm 119, "How can a young man cleanse his way?" And then he answered, "By listening to God's word." So that's one way that will help us purify our heart, the word of God. Number 2, godly friends. Walking with those who have pure hearts will help us to keep our heart pure. We should not let others put junk into our hearts or into our minds. We would not let them bring their garbage into our house. So we should not let them put garbage into our heart or our mind. So important who your children hang out with. If their friends are not godly, they will end up with an impure, wicked heart. Number 3, godly behavior. Reading impure books, impure magazines, watching impure movies, patronizing impure businesses like XXX adult stores and video rentals, hanging out in strip clubs or nudist colonies will certainly not help you keep your heart pure. Hebrews 12:14 says, "Pursue peace with all men and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord." And remember the words of Paul, 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 and 10. "No fornicator, no idolaters, no adulterer, homosexual, sodomite, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, or extortioner will inherit the kingdom of God." Their heart is not pure. They are not happy. They cannot be happy. You cannot be happy with an impure heart, and they will not see God. Last but not least, prayer. We need to pray like David prayed for a clean heart, a pure heart. Purifying our heart is not a one-shot deal. In Acts 15, verse 9, it says there, "Purifying their heart by faith." Not purified, past tense. It's a continuous experience. Keep on purifying your heart. The pure in heart can see God's hand in all creation. They can see God's face in every blessing. They can see God's smile in the morning light. And they will stand one day and they will look at him. Finally, the last question, why are the pure in heart happy? Well, number one, because they experience a sense of security, peace, and self-respect. They're not living a double life. There are no lies, no deceit in their life. They do not have to watch over their shoulder all the time. They have nothing to hide, nothing to defend, nothing to explain. They experience a sense of peace and self-respect. Number two, they are not envious of other people's success or envious of their possession. Their heart is content with what they have. What they have came from God. God wants me to have that, and they're very content with that. And number three, they are not jealous of other people's praise or achievement. Their heart is pure. They are happy just the way that they are. We cannot be happy and be constantly fighting bad thoughts and evil pictures, evil imagination. Philippians 4 verse 8 says, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, think on these things. The story is told of a banquet where a famous religious leader found himself seated next to an extremely beautiful woman. And she was wearing a gown with a very low neckline, almost to the belly button. He introduced himself to her, and then he offered her an apple. And she was a little surprised. So he explained with a smile, and he said to her, please do take it, madam, and eat it. It was only after Eve ate the apple that she became aware of how little she had on. The man had a pure heart. So believe it or not, you and I are being prepared to enter the presence of God. We are being prepared to see Him face to face. Do you believe this? Do you realize that a day is coming when you are going to see God? Do you realize the glory that awaits you? If you do, your greatest concern in life will be to do whatever it takes to get there and to see it. The one requirement in our text this morning is to be pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Purity of heart is another thing that leads to happiness. This is how to be happy. It is unfortunate, but we were all born with an impure heart. That lovely little thing in the basket there looks so innocent. He has an evil heart, impure heart. And if you just let this little thing grow on its own, it will be a selfish, wicked person. We all need God. We need to be born again. Jesus said to the old man, you will not see God unless you are born again. So that's the first step. We must be born again. But it does not stop there. Just being born again will not give you automatically a pure heart. It will cleanse the heart from all the past sin. The heart might still be impure. And we need to be careful. We be careful who we hang out with, the friends that we have. They must be godly friends. Otherwise, they're going to pollute our heart. We need the Word of God to help us purify that heart that so easily get polluted and get wicked and get dirty. So we need to pray and ask God for help. So godly friends, the Word, prayer, these things will help us have a pure heart. And without a pure heart, we will not see God. So you need to ask the Lord to help you. After you were born again and all the past sins are gone, now you need the Holy Spirit to walk every day and to keep your heart pure. That's our responsibility. God will not do that for us. We need to choose our friends. We need to spend time in the Word, and we need to spend time in prayer to have a heart that is pure, a heart that will see God. May the Lord be with you. May the Lord bless each and every one of you who came today, spend time with the Lord to learn from His Word. And I pray that the Lord would touch your heart today. I pray that He would help you to keep your heart pure, that He would help you choose your friends, help you to spend time in the Word and in prayer, that your heart might be pure all the days of your life, and that you may see God face to face one day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.